Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we're going to get right to it today here on the program. We've got a lot of football to talk about today, including a matchup between Tennessee and Pittsburgh tomorrow at Neyland Stadium. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in head coach of Pittsburgh, Pat Narduzzi, joining us to begin the show today. Pat, what's going on? Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Good to be on with you down in Nashville, and Pittsburgh can't wait to get down to Knoxville.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Of course, the Johnny Majors Classic, which I know very important to both universities in this matchup. How much are you and your team looking forward to this game in Neyland Stadium?
We're fired up for every game. This is the one we get to play on a historic day, I guess, of 9/11 and the Johnny Majors Classic. So, our guys are excited. I mean, I'm excited. We get 12 opportunities every year, and this happens to be one of them against a great football team in a great atmosphere.
Pat, it's great to hear from you. Hope you've been hanging in without me covering you all in the last few years. I know that's probably been tough for you, man.
Hey Joe, you're the man. The only reason I'm on this call today is because of you. So appreciate all the good articles, all the bad articles up in Detroit and East Lansing.
Yeah, not that I ever
read any bad ones.
Oh, right.
Good ones, but
you guys never read anything. You never read anything, right?
Hey, Joe, you think we're kidding when we say that?
Yes, I don't buy that at all. Read anything. You never read anything?
I would read a good article if my wife said read it. Other than that, I would never read anything. Like, number one, you don't have time, and number two, it doesn't matter. You really can't get our kids. Can get messed up. Our players can get messed up. I tell our guys to stay off Twitter during the season. I tell them to do not read that stuff. I'm telling you, it is bad.
It's like
it can mess a guy up.
Well, it's like the rat poison, right? I mean, that's like the Saban term. So the good can be bad too. But I guess I just always feel like you always try to put yourself in someone's shoes. It's like, but how do you just totally block it out? You know, like how I understand why you'd want to.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's really simple to not. I mean, it's simple because it can mess you up.
Yeah.
And I think I remember, I forget even what the article was about, but I think you and my wife had a nice article at one point that I read, but those are, she's like, oh, you got to read it. So, and I got my dog. I'm at home this morning. My dog comes up. She's licking me in the face here this morning, Joe. I mean, she must know you're on the phone.
Well, speaking of your family.
Let's get to business.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, and Donna. Of course, I had to go through the boss to make this happen too. So I want to say shout out to her and your family, awesome family. But yeah, this matchup, Pat, you have seen Josh Heupel, you've coached against Josh Heupel a couple times recently. So without giving away the game plan and everything you've seen this week, is this going to be very similar in matchup, or is the personnel so different that? You can't really look at those two games against UCF and take a ton from them.
Well, you can take a ton from them because it's Josh Heupel. And let me just tell you, you guys got a great football coach down there. It's going to build something, I think, pretty darn good. Offensively, what they do is it's hard to defend. They spread you out. But I think the difference between UCF and what he's got at Tennessee is probably just the offensive line. I mean, so you're looking at, you know, different offensive line. They don't have a lot of depth on the offensive line, but, you know, if Mays gets hurt again or whatever, you know, I know he got banged up last week, got hit pretty good. You know, maybe they don't have a lot of depth in the recruiting will help that, but their skill positions are like UCF. I mean, UCF had some great skill, you know, and again, they can find them down in Florida. So, and I know Tennessee does. So their receivers are unbelievable. You know, their own line's really good. The running backs are good. So, I think the advantage they have is now they have an offensive line that's, you know, that's a power five. You know, I think they're really good. So they're going to be able to protect the quarterback, which we got after them the last time we played them here at Heinz Field. And they got after us, you know, the year before, with Milton McKenzie down in Orlando. So they're a good football team, and Tennessee is going to be, they're going to be somebody people in the SEC are going to have to reckon with for a while.
Pat, when you look at Joe Milton on tape, especially with the physical profile that he brings to the table and all the different things that he can do, I guess what stands out the most when you watch tape of Joe Milton?
You know, what stands out is he didn't make bad decisions, you know, last weekend. He, you know, he is big. He's physical looking. You know, I've had coaches tell me just don't look down that end of the field and look at him pregame because he is beautiful looking. He's got a cannon arm. He's going to make every throw he can make. He's a big dude. So could he be more accurate? Yeah. But he is special.
So, you know, Pat, over those years of covering you at Michigan State, I mean, it was fascinating to me watching, you know, what you guys did on defense. I didn't even realize, the extent of this until last summer. Actually, I did a thing on Ohio State, because Mike Vrabel's here, and those guys were telling me that they had a coach assigned to basically studying your D, and as you know, I mean, basically, I think it would have been after you guys beat them in the Big Ten title game, they basically did your defense the next year. They won the national championship. Is your defense right? Is this? Basically the same defense? Like, is it significantly changed at all, or is it still, you know, that quarters as a base and you know, all the exotic blitzes, basically the same thing it's been for a long time?
Yes, it's the same exact thing. I've got Randy Bates came in from Northwestern as my D coordinator. He's done an excellent job of leading the defense, our coaches and our players, to run the same defense. Again, I don't call the defenses, but I'm in every meeting and making sure it gets done the right way. So it is that exact defense, and we've had a lot of success with it through the years.
What I know that obviously in football, I mean, everyone, I guess, eventually copies everyone to some extent and, yeah, adjusts to things. Like even the offense you're facing this week, right? Like a few years ago, probably harder for teams to deal with, right? Just because it was newer. But what is that like as a coach? One, to be able to be in a consistent system that's successful, but also to, you know, to have your peers sort of, you know, borrow stuff like that, for lack of a better term.
You know, when I'm retired, that'll matter. I mean, for years we didn't, you know, all our coaches at Michigan State never went out and talked about our defense. We just, you know, you weren't allowed. And I just told everybody, like, do not talk about this. Don't, you know, you can talk about some of our, you know, fundamentals and all that stuff, techniques, and, you know, talk about our base defense. But we never talked about what made us special, which is kind of the way we blitz and how we did that stuff. People stole it off the tape. So, you know, it's flattering in a way, but, you know, I don't like seeing people use it against you to beat you either. So it's leaked out. I mean, Clemson does it. Georgia does it. You'll see them, run some of our blitz coverage, which, you know, it's crazy stuff, but people are doing it. And I know Alabama hadn't done it yet. From inside sources, they say he's still scared to do it because he doesn't get it. it's some scary stuff. And if Saban's scared, that means it's some crazy stuff.
That's right. Oh, that's awesome. Pittsburgh head coach Pat Narduzzi on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Pat, as a coach, when you have a quarterback like Kenny Pickett and just the tools that he brings to the table, the experience he brings to the table, how much of a plus is that for you and your group offensively when you've got a leader like that at quarterback?
It's a big plus. I'm happy we're not going down to and play in front of 100,000 people with a, you know, a backup number one, which we did a few times last year, a guy in his first year playing. So, Kenny's experience, he's played in these big games. He's a leader. You know, he'll manage that offense the right way, and he'll give us a chance to go down there and have a successful day.
Yeah, and that matchup, Pat, I mean, it's obviously tough, I'm sure, for both sides. You guys against UMass and them against Bowling Green. I mean, you know, there's a certain level of just domination up front that you have in those games that now, you know, that you're not going to have this week for either side probably, or in a lot of other games. So when right. you look at Tennessee's defense, I mean, what can you – they've got obviously a transfer, an inside linebacker – Tyler Barron coming off the edge, some pretty good experience in the secondary. What is your assessment that you can tell us of that Tennessee defense?
You know, I love their defense. They get after it. That guy 51 inside, I don't have my depth chart on me, but 51, their nose tackle, D tackle. That guy's a beast. I don't care who he was playing against. He was making them look silly. I like the way they play up front. I mean, you know, for us to have success down there, we're going to have to control those inside guys and control the edge. I think their D-line, you know, sets the tone up front, and they've got some guys that look like they can play anywhere in the country and be playing at the next level.
Pat, I want to get your thoughts on Rashad Weaver. Obviously, Titans fans here very excited about Rashad Weaver and what he could bring to the table. Obviously, a guy you're very familiar with. How do you think his game's going to translate to the NFL level?
You know, I saw that outside linebacker name on the back, on the end of his name there, because it sounds like they're playing him. And I haven't watched much tape, Joe, so I couldn't tell you. But number one, Rashad Weaver is an incredible kid, just an unbelievable football player. I mean, just, and again, I can't speak more highly of him off the field as I can on the field. Like, he's a superb individual. It speaks to what Pittsburgh means to him. He's a Florida guy, gets 4 days off in the NFL, and he's back in Pittsburgh. At our game last Saturday. So he's an incredible player. I think he's going to be a great player for the Titans. I think they got a great pickup. Like I said, I haven't watched any tape or to see how he fits into Coach Vrabel's defense down there. But he's a guy that's as smart a defensive end as I've ever coached. You know, so it doesn't surprise me that he can be in that outside linebacker position, which maybe it's just a stand-up defensive end in the 3-4. But through the next couple of years, he's just going to continue to grow and grow and grow and get smarter and more experienced in that defense.
So, Pat, I wanted to ask you just about college football. How are you feeling about college football right now? I mean, so much has happened just in a short period of time. Obviously, the portal's got thousands of names in it right now. You've got name, image, likeness. You got the SEC out grabbing, Texas and Oklahoma. Like, what is your state of the union right now in college football? How do you feel about being a head coach right now in this game?
Well, I'm glad I'm an old head coach. I'm glad I'm not 35 years old and have to deal with this for another 25 years. It's chaotic right now, I think. Someone needs to get a hold of, you know, what's going on. I think really what the ACC's done, I think our commissioner's gotten together, you know, just with some other conferences, Power Five conferences, and built that alliance just to try to get some stability and make sure this thing doesn't get out of control. I think everybody still loves college football. I think this country's not the same without college football, and I love pro football as well. But we can't have, you know, college football, you know, semi-pro football and NFL football. We just got to make sure we don't lose what we have. I think everybody loves where it is. I think, you know, players, you know, I'm happy for some of the name, image, and likeness stuff. I think it's going to be good stuff. Players deserve, you know, more than they get. So I do agree with all that stuff, but we just got to get things under control and not let it get out of control. And I think it's starting to get out of control. And I think someone needs to start to lead, you know, college football, in a better direction than it's being led right now.
Do you like the, you know, whenever it is happened, I think it's a when, not if, but the expanded playoff?
You know, I do, you know, but I think, you know, I think there was some insider trading going on to get that whole thing going. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, somebody steals two teams from one conference and they're also got their hands deep into, you know, expanding this playoff, which might be lucrative to them. So I think there's some things like that going on that's maybe not so right, but I don't understand, you know, as ACC head coaches, we've, you know, talked a long time on Zoom calls through the last year. You know, you go from 2 to 4. Who goes from 4 to 12? You know, I mean, usually you gradually move it up and you go from 2 to 4 and then 4 to maybe 6 or 8 or whatever it is, whatever your magic number is. But, you know, you don't go all the way up to 12. It just seemed like a major, major move. And there's a lot of ramifications from it that sometimes people don't look at. They're just looking at, you know, one thing, maybe the money. But they don't think about the health and wellness of these players that are playing the game and what it does to them academically. I mean, they're still trying to get a degree. That's something that's important at the University of Pittsburgh, and it should be important across the country.
Well, Pat, we really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Good luck against Tennessee coming up tomorrow. We're really looking forward to watching that game.
Sounds great, guys. We'll see you down there. Hopefully, Joe, I'll see you in the press room afterwards, or what?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna try to find Donna before the game. She still doesn't watch, right? Does she still like turn away for the whole game?
Oh yeah, she's not. She's not watching. She
yeah.
Watching
but yeah, I'll find you.
I may just tell her. I may just tell her to stay home. Stay home and try to you know, relax and have some fun or something. Go shopping. You know.
Well, is she coming to Knoxville?
Yeah, she's supposed to be coming. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah. So, I can't wait to see you guys play. Yeah. Thanks so much for doing this, Pat.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Absolutely. You as well. Pittsburgh head coach Pat Narduzzi, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. That's excellent stuff.
Yep. That is always excellent stuff with Pat Narduzzi.
We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Pat Narduzzi had to say there. Continue to look ahead to this game between Tennessee and Pittsburgh coming up. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The Nashville Predators are almost back. Hockey right around the corner, and regular season and preseason games in October, November, and December now on sale to the general public, and future months will go on sale in the coming weeks. Nashville Predators can't wait to fill Bridgestone Arena with 17,159 of the best fans in sports once again, so don't miss out on the 16 exciting home games scheduled during the first 3 months of the season. If you'd like more information on Predators tickets, visit NashvillePredators.com/tickets. Once again, that's NashvillePredators.com/tickets. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Thanks to Pat Narduzzi for joining us on the show. Head coach of Pittsburgh, set to take on Tennessee tomorrow on the Johnny Majors Classic.
Sitting there with his dog?
It's awesome.
Yep.
And as Chris on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, points out, trolling Nick Saban at 6 a.m. I like this guy.
Yeah, that's the headline, right? Nick Saban, quote,
scared
to run my defense, says Pat Narduzzi.
That's awesome.
But it's true, like what I told him, I actually wrote a little bit about this week and in that piece in 2012, but like I didn't know it was this extent. There's some guys on the Titans staff who, of course, were with Vrabel at Ohio State, and Zach Kerr told me, he's like there was a coach who was assigned to, you study that defense and learn everything about it because it gave people such trouble. And it's just, I think it's rare. I mean, copycatting happens, you know, all over the place. Anything that works, a bunch of people are going to grab it, right? Just like this tempo offense. And yet he still does what he does. And it works. Works pretty well. And obviously you got to have good players. I mean, they sent 5 defensive players to the NFL draft. So,
yeah,
like, that's a big part of it. But it works. And it's interesting, too, with Heupel. I mean, if you are in the kind of like in the guts of a system and you feel like you can run it still better than all the copycatters, then you stick with it. And we've seen that with Heupel too. That's again why I think this is as nerdy as it may be. I think this is one of the better games Saturday. I mean, it's not a great schedule, so that's part of why.
Sure.
But I do.
This is a really fascinating game between Tennessee and Pittsburgh. And it's kind of the chess match of Narduzzi and the defense that Pittsburgh brings to the table, Heupel and his tempo offense. And, you know, Narduzzi was talking earlier this week about, you know, the tempo was fast at UCF. He feels like it's gotten faster through the first game at Tennessee. So interested to see how Pittsburgh's able to handle that. And, honestly, whether or not Tennessee can keep going at that speed and execute, because execution, a bit of a problem last week in the passing game.
Yeah, well, and this is where I think that this is where the tempo it has to help you. It has to help you, you know, just try to get them a little bit out of position. Obviously, you don't let them sub. Get it out fast, you know, and then you're going to get shots. I mean, like that's the funny thing, too, about this defense. I mean, he says it, and you can see it. I watched UMass game last week. I'm like, yeah, there's three or four bombs UMass has if they can connect, and they didn't. Yep. So, I mean, Joe Milton is going to have vertical opportunities in this game. That this defense says, yeah, go ahead. See if you can hit that exactly right. I've seen teams do that on this defense, you know. And when that happens, then you're in trouble. I mean, this exact defense, now Narduzzi was gone, but when they played Alabama in the playoff, you know, Alabama just torched them, you know, with the slot receiver, because in quarters, you know, your safeties end up matched up in basically in man,
yep,
with some good players sometimes. And so, you know, now granted, when the slot receiver is Amari Cooper, well, that makes it even harder on your solid college safety, you know. But that's one thing I do expect Tennessee to do, is out of the slot. That's what you see a lot, is trying to go vertical out of the slot against this defense, because you will get a matchup. If they're in quarters, essentially, you know, it's going to be man-to-man against the safety. So a Hyatt, a Callaway, somebody like that. And Pitt does have three new starters in that secondary, too.
Charlie on Periscope says, LOL, Narduzzi is an SEC truther. Did get a couple shots in towards the end there of the college football playoff and the expansion of Texas and Oklahoma to the conference. That's good stuff by Narduzzi there.
Narduzzi gets some shots in.
Oh, yeah.
Like when Urban Meyer came into the Big Ten on the recruiting front, he got some shots in. There was no love lost between those staffs.
College football needs more of this. Just get some guys in there that are not afraid to speak their minds.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And that's the thing. It's like, I mean, he's had a successful tenure at Pittsburgh. They need, you know, I feel like they're still waiting for that breakthrough year. I think this could be a breakthrough year for them with Kenny Pickett, a really good quarterback. But this game, it's just like with Tennessee, you look at the importance of this game in terms of, you know, being bowl eligible. You know, Pittsburgh's got to win this game to have the kind of season it wants. And, yeah, Pat Narduzzi does not get utilized enough in media, because it's never, ever boring. And it's almost always, like, more honest than most coaches are willing to be.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ricky texting in. College football needs more Italian head coaches with an attitude like this guy. He's my new favorite coach in college football. I also love how he called the SEC out for robbing teams, because it's beneficial to them for the playoff. And hands in the pocket, total Italian reference. Love this guy. Have a great day.
There you go.
I completely
agree. Big Pat Narduzzi fan.
Yeah. It's.
I enjoyed every second of that interview. That was awesome.
Yeah. We'll have to replay that later.
Believe we will.
For the late risers.
The late risers, 9 o'clock. We'll replay the Pat Narduzzi interview. Which, this is going to be interesting. Now, this is not the first time, and he brought this up, that Narduzzi has seen a Josh Heupel offense. He played against UCF twice and has coached against Josh Heupel and that offense twice when Heupel was at UCF. So there is some familiarity there, and I'm interested in round three, how this one goes, what adjustments have been made on both sides. And obviously, you know, there's a big personnel difference when you switch from UCF to Tennessee, and he talked about it probably most notably on the offensive line. This Tennessee offensive line should be in a much better position to control the line of scrimmage than the O-line at UCF.
Yeah.
If they stay healthy and if they've got their bodies available.
Right, I guess it makes sense. It's kind of obvious that would be the difference, but it's a notable thing. It's something worth pointing out. I mean, those UCF teams did not have guys like this. Yeah, Cooper Mays, big key there. You know, and Narduzzi had nice things to say there about Josh Heupel, but I will say this. When they hired Heupel, I mean, I wanted Narduzzi's opinion, and yep. He was like, yeah, great coach. So, I mean, honestly, his reaction at the time made me more optimistic about Heupel, and it's a guy who has seen him. That doesn't mean, you know, just because he likes him as a coach and they've had good games or whatever, that means it's going to translate to SEC success or what Tennessee fans want. But he's got a lot of respect for him. And, yeah, those two games with Milton, it was UCF rolling.
Yeah.
And then the next year in 19, it was like a great game, 1-point game, the Pitt special. They did the Philly special, but they called it the Pitt special, too. I think that was either the 2-point conversion or
he talked about that this week.
QB. Yeah.
Narduzzi said, they'll be ready for the Pitt special, and we'll be ready for the tempo. That was the quote. It's good stuff.
Yeah. So it's going to be a very good game. He picked out the guy that I think does stand out for Tennessee, especially if he has the stamina, because I thought he was so much better earlier in the game, but Elijah Simmons, 51, like, yep, that's Elijah Simmons. I mean, that's the guy to me who is going to be a big part of this defense being solid if it is this year.
We'll continue the discussion on Pittsburgh and Tennessee when we come back, including giving some keys to victory for Tennessee in this game. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see Stanford versus Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt Stadium on Saturday, September the 18th? Head over to YouTube and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter to win your way into the game. One winner will be chosen on Monday, September the 13th. So you're running out of time. Make sure you go over there and subscribe to the YouTube page. One winner will be chosen coming up next Monday. So get it done today would be my advice.
Get it done.
That's right.
Because everybody's working for the weekend.
That's right. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank. Visit volstatebank.com to learn more about our free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. A weekly tradition here on the show. Happens many times annually for that song to lead us into the segment here. Good stuff.
Yes.
It's a rite of passage.
Got to do it.
You do have to do it. It's not annual. It is weekly.
We still need to start, you know, jamming some other Loverboy songs, but some deep
cuts. Just go through the entire catalog.
Some deep cuts, yeah. Canadian 80s rock. Doesn't get much
better.
There's
nothing better.
It's like Loverboy and Glass Tiger. God.
Never heard some Glass Tiger, but would love to hear it.
Yeah, the one song they had, if you heard it, then okay. You'd be like, oh, yeah, right. Okay. They actually have Brian Adams, you know, like, helping out with the song.
Oh, wow.
If you find Don't Forget Me When I'm Gone by Glass Tiger, if you find that for an intro, like, you'll know it.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Let's see what we can do on that front. Talking Vols against Pittsburgh. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've talked a lot this week about this game. The different challenges that Pittsburgh's going to bring to the table defensively against Tennessee. We've not talked as much about the other side of the ball. I'm interested from a Tennessee defensive standpoint. Can their depth hold up? Can their line of scrimmage hold up and be not as dominant as they were last week? Because, I mean, that's just not realistic heading into this game. But can this line, and you talked about Simmons, I think Tyler Barron's a big part of this too. Can they be a legitimate factor and a big plus for Tennessee in this game? That's something I'm interested to see on that side of the ball. So if I had to ask you a couple of keys to victory, outside of the obvious of the quarterback play, because we know that may end up being the most important factor for Tennessee in this game, but outside of Joe Milton, what are a couple of keys in your mind to victory for Tennessee if they're going to walk away from Neyland Stadium tomorrow 2-0 on the season?
Well, it's another, I guess, obvious one. I mean, you could also do, like, you know, win the turnover battle and, like, special teams don't have a big bust there. But I just think running the football is so key for both teams. And that's the hardest thing for me to really know. I know Pittsburgh's receivers are good. They've got some guys at receiver. And, again, we've talked earlier in the week about Lucas Kroll, the tight end, number 7. He is going to be – he's got to be a big point of emphasis for Tennessee's defense. He's a problem. I think he's a pro. But I don't have a great sense for Tennessee's running backs, and I just can't look at dominating UMass, you know, up front and take much from it. So, man, it's so important that you don't let Kenny Pickett be in 3rd and 2 all day. He's a really good – they do some design run stuff with him. He's really good at the RPO game. I mean, they do that a pretty fair amount, and he's very good at it. He's a good quarterback. I think he's going to be drafted in the next draft. Probably not high, but I mean, he has enough of an arm, and the athleticism is very good. But their tailback running game, what is that? they have some, you know, some players who have produced, and they've got some young guys they're very excited about. One young guy who got stacked up, and he may end up being their best running back, but he got stacked up on two straight short yardage plays by UMass near the goal line, and they stopped him on fourth and one, and it was one of those. And Narduzzi talked about, like, you know, you gotta go in there, like, get a yard, and he was looked like a freshman trying to, you know,
dance around.
Yeah. But that's a guy who he can play. I mean, he's got talent. So Tennessee, from their perspective, you can't let them run for, you know, 120, 150 plus in this game. I think that you're going to have problems because, yeah, we're so focused on, you know, Tennessee's tempo and this Narduzzi defense. But I do have some concern about Tennessee's defense in this game. We're going to learn a lot about it.
Well, I agree, and I think a key offensively, outside of the obvious of Joe Milton's going to need to have a better day from not only an accuracy standpoint, but recognizing what's in front of him standpoint, that's obvious. We've talked about that all week. You're going to need your wide receivers to make some plays for you in terms of maybe getting them the ball quickly and making some people miss and using their speed that way. I mean, it's one thing to go down the field, and I think Tennessee's going to try that a few times. But Jalin Hyatt, very gifted with the ball in his hands. We'll see about Jimmy Callaway. We've not really seen him at this level yet to this point. But they've got some guys that you watch the way they run, how quick they are. You need your wide receivers to make some plays for you with the ball in their hands. And if you can get some missed tackles and some shiftiness to you and make some big plays that way, I think that can open up a lot for this offense. You need your wide receivers to bring their A game tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's another guy. So there's three guys, of course, who, I mean, I just think their availability is so key. So it sounds good on the Callaway front.
Yep.
And that's speed. I mean, that's another real burner to add to the mix. And again, like Milton, I mean, hey, look, Tillman got open. So, and they obviously have a connection, and he had a touchdown. But I feel like a Callaway, a Hyatt, I mean, these are the guys who may actually be able to catch up with those bombs from Milton, you know.
Bayless Jones
is another one. Yeah. Yep. You know, apparently, you know, that's if it's like a hamstring with him, I mean, it's, you know, it's like you want to make sure he's not, like, bothered by it all year. But, yeah, if he could be a full go. Then, obviously, Cooper Mays, and that sounds good. So, it seems like offensively, you know, that's a nice – that's huge to have Cooper Mays. Huge. Again, Kalijah Kancey, I think, is the most talented player on Pittsburgh's team, and I wish, actually, that I asked Narduzzi specifically about Kancey. Sophomore, number 8,
just
basically a light 3 technique, but he is – yeah, that's true. We could do another segment at the top of each hour with Narduzzi today. That'd be awesome. No, Kalijah Kancey, number 8, man, he's a problem. And so Cooper Mays is so important to – having this game. And then, of course, on the other side, I mean, Byron Young would be, and I don't know, as of now, I mean, it's still the whole, I've seen this happen before, though. I've seen this happen so many times where it's like Friday at 4 o'clock, you get the clearance. And they've been preparing as if he can play, which is good. So, like, if he does get the clearance, here you go. I mean, if you could get like 20 pass rush snaps or whatever out of him in this game, that could make a difference. It's not like Kenny Pickett is, I mean, he's not like a guy who's going to, you know, run for 100 yards on you or anything, but he's fast, and he's very good at sensing pressure and, you know, just finding sticks. So another pass rusher in there for Tennessee would really help.
How big a deal is this for Josh Heupel if Tennessee is able to get this done tomorrow? If they come away as a winner tomorrow at home against Pittsburgh, a game which, by the way, they are favored, or not favored in. Pittsburgh is favored in this game. How big a deal is it for Josh Heupel if he's able to beat a quality ACC opponent, start the season 2-0?
I think it would be a big deal, and I think it would be a bigger deal than most people will make out of it. Like, to me, if they win this game, I'm really impressed. I think Pittsburgh is a team that definitely, like, I think Pittsburgh is a top 25 caliber team, although they've lost so much on defense to the NFL.
Yep.
You know, but still, the fifth-year senior quarterback who's good and the skill that's good and still having a lot of talent on D. I mean, I think it's a top 25-ish team. And And again, it's also an established program. They know exactly what they want to do. So even when you lose people, you know, they're going to do what they do. They've had, you know, he's had this program going for many years. And what is this, his seventh year, I think? I think it's the seventh season.
Yep.
You know, so they've got a certain foundation there. And Heupel's in game two. And so I will be very impressed. It probably won't get that much attention around the sport. I understand it. It's a game between two unranked teams. But I think it would be a big deal, an impressive win to get it at all. But also, now you're talking about the possibility of being 3-0, going to Gainesville, all the hype that would build until that trip. But it would be nice momentum for early going here in Heupel's first season.
ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in tomorrow night as Nashville SC takes on Montreal. Pre-game starts at 6:45 and the match begins at 7 p.m. When we come back, we'll continue to look ahead at the weekend slate in college football, including Vanderbilt. How do they respond after an embarrassing loss to ETSU? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit our brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Volunteer State Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. So I see what you're talking about now.
Got it. Nice jam
bringing us back in. Okay, yeah.
Glass Tiger.
I'm familiar.
Glass Tiger.
Give me a Canadian. Glass Tiger t-shirt.
And that's Brian Adams, the bad gun. My heart would break. You know, because Brian Adams.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. Big stuff in the 80s. Canadian rock. You know, you got Loverboy, you got Glass Tiger, I guess Rush. Are those guys all Canadian? Geddy Lee's Canadian, right?
Yeah.
Who else?
I want to say, like, all of them are Canadian, aren't they?
No, but I mean, what other bands?
Oh, I thought you.
There's got to be more great Canadian rock bands, right?
I don't imagine the list is that high or that long.
We're forgetting somebody. Hit us up on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com with other great Canadian rock bands.
Throw us your favorite Canadian rock band.
That's right.
615-737-1025.
MC Snow. You guys know that song, Informer? Do you know that song? Oh, yeah. Look that one up next, Michelle.
Say the name of it again.
MC Snow, Informer. Jam.
It's a Joe Rex Road request line day.
Oh, yeah.
On the intro music coming back. That's some good stuff. Talking college football, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, Vanderbilt back in action tomorrow. We had Clark Lee on the show earlier this week, and it's all looking ahead to Colorado State now after, quite frankly, an embarrassing, inexcusable loss by Vanderbilt to ETSU. They fall 23-3 last week. You're on the road. Late night action for Vanderbilt coming up at 9 o'clock. So the nightcap for Vanderbilt this week, I guess, and it's difficult to judge because Colorado State didn't look overly impressive in week one either. This could be quite the matchup out there between Vanderbilt and Colorado State. But I'm interested to see from not only just a talent standpoint of what they have on the field, but I think more so from a mental standpoint if you're Vanderbilt. How do you respond? Like, how much fight do you show in this game? If something goes bad early and you fall behind, is it immediately just total panic if you're Vanderbilt? Or can you find some way to fight through it and fight through some adversity? Like, if this team's going to have any success this year, they're going to have to fight through some adversity because they're just not good enough not to. I'm interested to see if things start poorly tomorrow, if there's any pushback from this Vanderbilt team whatsoever.
No, I agree. I mean, it's a big answer needed from Vanderbilt, from Clark Lee. No one thought this team was going to be great or anything, but I thought this team would pass.
Yeah, I thought you had them going 10-2.
That's right. Well, no, just 9-3.
Okay.
I said they could go 10-2. I'll take 9-3. That's a joke. Please strike that from the record. I did pick them to go 4-8, which I actually feel dumb about also. And gave ETSU no chance to beat them.
Well, there was that.
Yeah, there was that. You think about how it sets up. You're going out to Colorado State. Yeah, I don't think they're very good, but you can't tell me they're not good enough to beat Vanderbilt. And at home at night, I imagine it'll be some kind of a hostile environment. Then, you know, you're looking at coming home, you know, for Stanford, which isn't like vintage Stanford, but still, like, pretty good team coming into, like, what's the scene like at Vanderbilt Stadium, you know, for that if what we saw week one carries over to week two? This is an important – I know it's game two of a coaching tenure, but I'm just talking about for this season. For this season, I feel like it's really important to show, one, like, you know, execution, game plan, things like that that just weren't good enough at all in week one. But also, like you said, you know, can you stick together? And it did look, and I mean, I know this is like from far away, you're looking at a sideline, you know, you're in the press box, but it did look like once ETSU had some counter punches Saturday, there was just this sort of, you know, just sort of letting of air out on that sideline. And look, that's the type of thing that when you inherit an 0-9 team that was bad the year before too, and they just had a lot of kind of returning to sort of Vanderbilt losing and everything, like, it's not going to be snap your fingers and you got it all figured out and everybody's exactly approaching things how you want. But it was way worse than I think anyone would have imagined. So this is big.
Well, it is, and to that point, you know, I stand by what we've said about the quarterbacks for Vanderbilt. I think they've got some ability. I think Ken Seals is a good thrower of the football. I think Mike Wright is an incredible athlete. Like, I like a lot of what those two bring to the table. Also think, like, at some point, if you never see wins come, your confidence just start to immediately go out the door. And, you know, Ken Seals has never won a college football game up until this point. Like, it's important to see a win go in the column for Ken Seals and for this football team. So, you know, I'm interested as this season goes on. Like, you know, they're obviously still really young at that position, and there's a lot to grow from and learn from. But at some point, when you just get taken to the woodshed all the time, it's very difficult to overcome that throughout the rest of your college career. They need a win for those guys specifically.
They do. And again, I mean, this is where, you know, you have to look at Vanderbilt and say 0-9, but they threw the ball well last year.
Yep.
At times. They had success in that offense with a true freshman quarterback. They had some success. They had some good weeks. Overall, he was good. He has good receivers. I mean, Chris Pierce, the veteran Cam Johnson, these are good players. These guys have made plays against SEC defenses. Will Shepard is good. I mean, there's a reason. I think Amir Abdur-Rahman has been banged up, but still, like, Will Shepard has emerged, and he got targeted 19 times last week. 9 catches, I think 84 yards. I mean, these guys are good enough to go out and make plays in the SEC. So, you know, these coaches have got to put them in position to make plays against ETSU and Colorado State and UConn. Then you get to the SEC. I mean, that, like, what we saw offensively, and I know there's a lot of things. I mean, Clark Lee talked specifically about one play. You know, it's one guy who doesn't do his job, and then it's one pressure that ruins a whole play. Or, again, Mike Wright makes a big-time play for a touchdown to Chris Pierce. One guy's downfield ineligible, wipe it off the board, and it's like they never really threaten again to score. So it's little things sometimes, but the overall picture of the offense, especially to me, has got to be different Saturday.
Before we get to a gross oversight on our part when it comes to Canadian rock bands, we'll get to that here in just a few minutes. That's been pointed out several times on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The most intriguing matchup
to
you. Yeah, that's one of them.
Yep. Yeah, the guess who? Brockman, yep. Turner Overdrive.
Yep, that's on there too.
Man.
Now, there's one that came along a little later.
There's one that we're totally missing.
You're missing a big one. Yeah, I just looked at the text line.
Yeah. Now, that came along. Now, in fairness, it's not in the 80s. It came along a little bit later.
But
yeah.
Don't tell me.
Is Oregon, Ohio State the matchup you're looking forward to the most this weekend? It's not a great weekend in terms of big time college football games.
I mean, honestly.
And I wasn't all that impressed by Oregon week one.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a good game. I don't. I understand it's Pac-12, Big Ten and everything, but Yeah, it is. It's a pretty. It's kind of a downer week after an incredible first week.
Do have Iowa State.
That's probably it. The Cy Hawk Trophy, Iowa State. That's probably the game, you know, that I'm looking forward to the most. Are there any sneaky good games out there? I mean, is Texas at Arkansas? Does that have a chance to be interesting?
I mean, Alabama's possibly playing Mercer, and Nick Saban was in prime Nick Saban form earlier this week. He's fired up. They didn't practice worth the crap on Monday, apparently. Didn't finish the game after they were up 1-0 against Miami. So Nick Saban's upset this week.
Rat poison.
Better watch out for Mercer.
Yeah, yeah. Rat poison. And I really hope at some point he said, you guys think Mercer can't give us any problems?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Yeah, that's a lot of bad ones. I mean, seriously, there are weeks where it's like you're gonna go sit in a press box and watch Tennessee or Vanderbilt play a game, and you're just like, get that phone cooking. Like, I mean, look, Vanderbilt, ETSU, Clemson, Georgia was rolling on the phone, but honestly, I mean, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, to me it's high on the list of interesting games this week in the sport.
I agree. We'll see what happens on that front. A lot of people on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, very upset that we did not mention Nickelback when it comes to Canadian rock. Nickelback.
Are you serious? I was like,
look, I don't hate Nickelback as much as most people do. Like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I drive around jamming out to Nickelback or anything, but I think it's become trendy to hate Nickelback.
Yeah.
I think some people take it too far.
Because their name's kind of dumb, I guess. Oh, yeah. Is that why?
Maybe.
I can't say the vocalists there are just...
It makes my eyes tear up or anything from just how great it is. But
I honestly don't even know much of Nickelback, but what I do know, I don't want to know more.
Triumph? Saga?
Triumph.
April Wine?
April Wine. Oh, man.
A lot of votes for the Canadian rock bands.
But, yeah.
Who knew this was such a thrilling genre of music?
Yeah, but Rush is a bigger than... Sure. I'm glad that we got to... Yeah, the Guess Who and BTO, which there's some shared members there, too. Very important to mention.
Tim from Lewisburg says Loverboy has a few good songs in the 80s. Loverboy does.
Turn me loose, Tim.
That's right.
Have you found MC Snow yet?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You want me to play it right now?
Yeah, maybe we should go outro with MC Snow.
I think we'll just get it back at like 7:15. Okay. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it coming up next hour. Got a lot to get
to.
Coming up next hour, Paul Kaharsky from the Outkick 360 and paulkaharsky.com will join us at 7:30. Call Your Shot Friday, and we'll react coming up next to a great game last night between the Bucks and the Cowboys. Look ahead to the Titans and the Cardinals as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.